Oh, Roos comes sprinting into Triple M this morning. He called the footy last night. Then he went home and watched the replay. Then he rewound and watched all the highlights.
Yep.
And then he's got up for a wee during the night and watched Eddie Betts' goal.
Yep.
And then he's, unbelievable.
And I got online and got my grand final tickets too.
Oh, there you go.
That was just before I left to come in here. So
right.
I'm going to have a cat nap this afternoon.
Okay.
Got the job done last night. It wasn't pretty. Few injuries. We'll talk about that today. The week that was is our favourite segment for the week. That always comes up on Fridays. Lawrence Mooney joins us as well, and he's got a new friend, a new
character.
Character, we'll call him. Yeah, we'll have a chat to Lawrence Mooney
a
little bit.
He goes real, real hard on Australian TV. He's a TV reviewer.
Is he?
And he doesn't hold back, yeah.
Really?
Brutal.
Love having a chat to him later on. There's been some interesting news throughout Australia. Euthanasia is going to happen in Victoria. We'll talk about
that. That's huge. That's enormous.
The shooting on the banks of the Murray, Albury Wodonga.
Yep.
Two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievably, sons of... Is it Rodney Clavell?
Yes.
Who was in a siege in the Adelaide Hills and then shot at a strip joint siege in King William Road.
Yeah. Do you know that was 5 years ago? That's gone quick, hasn't it?
That siege was?
Yeah, 5 years ago it happened.
Wow. So the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree there. We'll find out more about that as well. So plenty to talk about and get through today.
Ruined. It's on Triple M.
What a goal!
It's overnight sports.
Watch NRL reigning premiers the Sydney Roosters take on their fierce rivals the Melbourne Storm on Friday 28th of June at Adelaide Oval.
Tickets at tickettech.com.au.
Jenkins comes in, he'll kick a certain goal. He does. It's a 16-point Adelaide lead and Jenkins has got three.
JJ has a spinning snap at it. Going right there. Oh, he's big time now, Jenkins.
He's got a beautiful trajectory. Great spin on the footy. He nails it. He's got it. Kicked his third tex.
What's he going to do? Produce
yes!
Something.
Crows are in the top four after a 33-point win last night at the Adelaide Oval. Roo, what pleased you the most?
Look, I think the way they finished them off. They played really well at the start, but they didn't capitalise on it, kicked inaccurately, kept them in the game. Richmond were gallant last night. There's no doubt about that, Ditz. They had, we know all the injuries they had, but Adelaide too, Lachlan Murphy forgot his mouth guard, right? Was worried about that before the game. In the first quarter, got smashed in the face. Three teeth got pushed back into his head, had to go to hospital to get that sorted out. Then Daniel Talia did his groin in the late in the second quarter. So they were down two players for over a half. And then Jake Kelly got kicked in the calf in the late in the third quarter. So they only had one rotation for that. So what I'm saying is they were extremely tired. Plus, they finished off the game real well and kicked four goals. Riley O'Brien was best on ground, 54 hitouts. Mind you, he was up against Richmond, who didn't have a dominant ruckman. And Brad Crouch had a PB in possessions. He had 43 disposals for the game. So it was a good win. It wasn't a great win, but it was a good win, and it showed a bit of character. But they did beat a depleted Richmond.
All right, Josh Jenkins went off with a knee injury. Didn't look good. Let's hear from the coach, Dom Pike.
Look, at this stage, it's the hyperextension, which, you know, they've sort of tested the ACL and they're confident that that's intact, which is real positive news for Josh.
They are pretty confident. It is not an ACL, Ditz. They think it might be similar to Paul Seedsman with a bone bruising and hyperextension. So it could be 4 to 6 or 8. They're a bit tricky, those bone bruising injuries, but it's not a season, which is great news.
All right. Now, we heard yesterday, this is sad news, but a good mate of ours, Matthew Broadbent, is taking extended leave from the game due to some mental health issues. And his teammate, Tom Rockliffe, spoke to Triple M yesterday.
Yeah, I think he's okay. Obviously, he's put his hand up and said he needs a little bit of time away just to himself. And obviously, you go through such a tough period, those 2 years on the sidelines, the build-up to get back, and then he's obviously had some issues around that. So it's important that he gets his head right, and it's quite big of him to put his hand up and just say, look, I need some time.
Let's hope he's all right.
It is unbelievable, this space, honestly. We spoke about it on Triple M last night. You know, in footy 20, 30 years ago, you never heard of it. What did players do then? Did they just...
bottle
retire?
It up.
Did they bottle it up? did they just say they'd lost their love of football? And Ken Hunter at the AFL Hall of Fame last Tuesday night admitted he had mental health and actually dropped out of footy back in the 80s, Dits, and his goal was to play one game the next year, did that just to try and prove to himself that he beat it, and then retired. So it's been around for a while, but just not as prevalent as it is today. It's a big issue, the biggest issue in sport, I think.
Mm. Hawthorn Essendon tonight at Marvel Stadium, Triple M rocks footy from 6. Match of the round in the Sandful, South Adelaide, Glenelg at Norlunga on Sunday. That'll be a very good game. Glenelg are flying, top of the ladder.
So is Joel Cross.
Yes, he is. That's right, because he gets well looked after, doesn't he?
Exactly.
All right. Australia continues its World Cup campaign against Sri Lanka tomorrow night at the Oval in London. And this week's match of the round in the NPL South Australia, Raiders take on Campbelltown, Croatian Sports Centre tomorrow at 3 p.m. And Roo, they're both wearing heritage tops tomorrow.
Nice.
They're going back at the, both clubs have done an agreement, so that'll be good.
Good work.
Yeah, that's our look at sport.
We have got a big half an hour coming up. Lawrence Mooney's going to join us. He's got a new character. But up next, the week that was, our favourite seg.
What sort of week have we had here? Well, it was a short week for a start, which was good.
That's right. But it was a good week.
All right, let's find out what happened this week on Ruined It's on Triple M.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined It's this week.
Number five. Last week, Ditz did himself a mischief with a manscaping incident.
So I've got five large
You've
cuts.
Murdered your knackers.
I have.
So after a long weekend, we had to check in.
How are they coming back, actually?
Oh, I've iced them up a fair bit.
Green shoots, in terms of what Brendan Bolton talks about? Any green shoots?
No, not yet, no. Anyway, what can we get off my nuts?
My nuts. Number four, let's get off Chris Dittmar's nuts.
Can we get off my nuts?
And on to Mark Rusciuto's.
Our sperm count is falling.
Why?
Rapidly. If you sit long enough and you've got tight jocks on, this will really, really, you'll get too warm in the nether region. How warm is yours right now, do you think?
35.3.
All right, you're the optimum level, the optimum temperature to produce the 200 million that we need.
Good stuff, Ditz.
Ew. Let's get off Roo's nuts and onto bums. Number three.
Accidental text messages.
We learnt about a poor lady who texted an intimate photo to the wrong person.
Well, she's taken a photo of her bum, and she's got a nice bum.
Describe a nice bum to me.
Just nice and curved.
How does it qualify?
Not too big.
Righto.
No hail damage.
Right. Two cheeks.
And just absolutely.
That's essential, isn't
it? Yep, just nice. Just feel like you want to go, she thought she'd send that to a new bloke.
Then what happened?
Well, she accidentally sent it to the bloke that's about to fit the new carpets in.
Yes.
The tradie that was coming around later
on.
Instead of getting a response about the underlay, he gets a response about her bum.
Yeah.
And goes, hang on.
Hello.
I'm looking forward to laying this carpet.
What a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, my God. OMG. OMG. Yeah.
Number two. We learnt about a new TV show.
There's a documentary that's gone to air. Would you believe they're saying that there are gay dogs out there? And they've proven this. Scientists have actually done research into this. They had, like, bitches on heat, right?
Excuse me.
And the dog, a female dog on heat.
Okay. No need to use that language.
I was talking about dogs there, not anyone we know.
You don't
say
bitch very often.
No. So bitches on heat.
There he goes again.
And the dog actually ignores the bitch and goes for the male dog over there. And this documentary, I cannot believe they've actually done all of this research and put a TV show together. But
what's the show called?
Is your dog gay?
No, it is.
And it's hosted by the dog guy from A Current Affair.
They came bounding over.
Number one. Anyway, gay dogs, low sperm counts, bum photos and Ditz's nuts. This is all too much.
Can we get off my nuts?
Let's clean it up with a nice dad joke from Tex Walker.
This walrus was driving his car. No. Next minute it just broke down. So he took it into the mechanic to get service and the bloke said, it's going to be a couple of hours, so you're going to have to go for a little walk. So he went for a little walk and paid a couple of bills, come back, and he said to the mechanic, hey, mate, how much is this going to cost? What'd you do? He said, it's going to cost a little bit. It looks like you've blown a seal. He said, nah, mate, I just had an ice cream.
Disgusting.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined It's this
that
week.
Shouldn't have gone to air the first time, let alone in the week it was.
And what about the third time?
Oh, right, we've banned Tex for a week. We've given him
Tex,
a week off.
Pull your finger out. Hey, Lawrence Mooney's going to join us next. He's got a new character.
on Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Matthias Matthias calling me Mark if you want to.
I could have played for New Zealand, but I was too busy being a great actor.
It's Lawrence Mooney and friends.
Very excited this morning, Roo, to welcome a brand new guest to our show. For the first time, he's a TV reviewer. In fact, Australia's meanest reviewer. I'm looking forward to this.
That's right.
Rudy Vanderstone. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning to you, Ditch, and hello to you, Roo. And it's very lovely to join you on Triple M Adelaide. I'm sharpening my knives and getting ready for my first review, which is The Voice.
Right, right. Good. Now, I'm just detecting an accent there, Rudy. Are you from Holland?
No, I was born in Sydney, but my mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. I just want to perpetuate the accent because culturally it's a beautiful accent, isn't it? And people enjoy it.
What's the difference between Holland and the Netherlands, just out of interest?
There's not. That's the joke there.
Sorry. I just thought I'd ask. Sorry. Rudy,
is Rudy...
No, you can ask. I think Holland's in the Netherlands or something, but I've never been there and I never will.
Right. Imagine what your accent will be like if you actually do spend some time there.
Mm. Well, it'll probably be stronger, I would imagine.
I would have thought, yeah.
Rudy, is you reviewing your full-time job or not?
Oh, no, I work as a plumber. So, I've got my own plumbing service.
Right.
I park my ute out the front of the studios here. That's what I do.
Right.
You've probably seen the copper pipes on the top.
Yeah.
Rudy's Plumbing Service.
Right.
You block it, we unblock it. That's right.
Now, you're saying you're reviewing The Voice. Do we get into it now? What do you want to tell us about The Voice?
Well, here we go. The Voice, Channel 9's talent quest to find Australia's best singing voice, returns for a seventh season, and it really is stretching Australia's talent pool so far that they're bringing back past champions and place getters from the previous series to have one more crack at the title. Sweet Jesus, they were no good the first time. Do you think 3 years on the league's club circuit is going to bring them up to scratch?
Well, they might have had some singing lessons or gone. It's like a golfer goes away and, you know, keeps hitting buckets of balls. They might have gone and had some lessons or something. You never know.
Yeah, you're a kind man. Ditch, tell you what, I'm saying Australia's talent pool is so shallow, if you dived into it, you'd be throwing shot put at the Paralympics. Now, let's get into the judges.
Righto.
The paucity of talent just doesn't extend to the contestants.
Right.
It's also running right to the judges. What has Guy Sebastian ever actually done?
Oh,
on the count of three, yell out your favourite Guy Sebastian song, Ditch. One, two, three. Yeah, just as I thought. You haven't got one. I wouldn't want that Mick Mock to coach me at tiddlywinks, let alone singing. Then there's Delta Goodrum.
Another world-class. Delta. Hang on. She's
Delta.
Beautiful.
She's beautiful, all right. But she's a world-class act the world has never heard of. Should have stuck with Neighbours, sweetie. You'd be having an affair with Dr. Carl by now rather than humiliating yourself on prime time.
Righto.
What about Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child?
Oh, she's lovely.
If your
lovely.
Destiny was to end up as a judge on The Voice, then you must have committed some heinous acts in your previous life. Of course, Kelly Rowland did stand next to Beyonce for many years in Destiny's Child. You might have expected the star power would rub off. It hasn't. She's as boring as a Sunday lunch. You can wear all the glitter you like, Toots. You've not got my chair spinning around. And then, finally, Boy George. Yes, a genuine pop star, Ditz, and a great talent, and a man who couldn't look more disinterested. No amount of makeup can hide your disdain for your judges or the contestants. And I can't look at you, Boy George, and not remember, in 2008, you were convicted of false imprisonment by handcuffing a man to a plumbing fixture and traumatising him. Karma, chameleon indeed. And wind back the hats too, you weirdo. You're starting to look like Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat.
Rudy, I think I'm
reading that book at the moment.
I'm going to get to enjoy your TV reviewing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let me finish this one up.
Right.
Next time the chairs spin around, I wish they'd keep spinning until all four of you drilled yourself into the ground and disappeared. I hate your show.
How many
10
stars?
Out of 10,
how
Rudy.
Many stars, Rudy?
That's a big flush from Rudy's Plumbing Service. Whoosh. Down to S Bend.
All right, Rudy, we look forward to you joining us in the weeks and months to come and reviewing more great Australian TV.
Rudy's TV review every week right here on Triple M.
Oh, I can see you doing Super Switch coming up soon too. That'll be fantastic, Rudy. Look forward to that.
I tell you what, have you been paying attention? Get some nice treatment next week.
Oh, champagne.
All right. Thanks,
champagne.
Rudy.
Champagne. See ya.
Time for the
pressure. I'm looking forward to more of his
bit of Rudy, yeah. Rudy's reviews. Yeah. Time for the pressure test. Give us a call now to win $1,000 cash. 1-333-53.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Roo and Ditz for breakfast. Roo, this shootout with police yesterday on the New South Wales-Victorian border, amazingly, we now know, has this Adelaide connection.
Yeah, absolutely. They are sons of Rodney Clavell, who was shot himself. He was involved in a siege in the Adelaide Hills and then shot at a siege in a strip joint in Adelaide a few years ago. It is amazing.
Yep. Sally Rawsthorne, crime reporter at the Sydney Morning Herald, has been following this story over the last day or two. She joins us. Sally, good morning.
Good morning.
Sally, what do we know about these two lads, the brothers, and as we've just said, sons of Rodney Clavell? Have police been watching them for quite a while? What's the story?
Well, the Victorian County Police, have actually had their eye on these two, particularly the older brother, Joshua, for at least 2 years. They think they knew at least. It's sort of a bit unclear as to who knew what at what stage about which brother. But one of them, Joshua, became radicalised. He became a radical follower of Islam. We don't know when, but a couple of years ago. He went to Bangladesh. He got married. He came back even more radical and went to prison in New South Wales for some sort of pretty minor offences, larceny, intimidation with his younger brother. And then they've come out of prison, driven down to this sort of very remote town, sort of west of Wodonga, and run into the police at the service station. And this is all unfolded. It's pretty crazy.
So what, one of them's just been released from prison and then set up home on the banks of the Murray for 5 weeks. Is that right?
Well, they were actually released from prison in August. I think that they went straight back down to Victoria. Police are still sort of trying to piece together their movements, but they've certainly been down there, on the banks of the Murray, for a little while, a couple of weeks at least, and the counterterrorism police knew they were there, were on their way to sort of suss them out or meet their New South Wales counterparts to discuss them, and then unbelievably ran into them at the service station.
So do we know how it escalated from there? How did it come to the point of a police shootout, and we're led to believe that they pulled knives and tomahawks and things like that? How did it escalate, do you know?
Well, they were at the service station. They were both at the service station, independent of each other, filling up, and then the brothers recognised that the detectives there, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a plainclothes detective, they're pretty easy to pick.
Not really undercover, are they?
Not what you call discreet, no. They saw them, realised they were cops, and ran their car into them, then drove off back to their campground, presumably thinking the police didn't know where they were. Police followed them, and, yeah, things escalate in a big way.
Methamphetamine, cocaine, and steroids in their system as well, so might have been a bit on edge, the boys. It's an unbelievable story. Now, Rodney Clavell's got 11 children. Several of them, by the looks of it, including these two, have had misdemeanors with the law. They've got another son that's been in jail. They've got one currently in jail. So it's a family affair, isn't it?
Yeah, I probably put it a bit higher than misdemeanors too. They're a pretty serious sounding family.
Can I just ask you finally, what about the actual terror side of things? I mean, are the terror squad suggesting that they were a real terrorism threat, do we know?
No, not at all. So what they were saying is that they've got a watch list. All states have them, probably the AFP have them as well, and there's a number of people on them. The Victorian Police Commander yesterday said that there were over 100 people on their watch list.
Right.
And it's basically just people that they're keeping an eye on for various reasons. It might be an extreme religious view. It might be sort of hatred of police, that sort of thing. But they were very keen to stress that there was no imminent threat to, the rest of
terror
us. Nothing to be, no terror threat sort of facing the community.
All right. Fantastic. Sally, thanks so much for joining us.
Have a great day.
Good on you. You too. Sally Rawsthorne, crime reporter at the Sydney Morning Herald.
Jenkins comes in. He'll kick a certain goal. He does. It's a 16-point Adelaide lead, and Jenkins has got three.
JJ has a spinning snap at it. Going right there. Oh, he's big time now, Jenkins.
He's got a beautiful trajectory. Great spin on the footy. He nails it. He's got it. Kicked his third text.
What's he going to do? Produce
yes!
The kick. Have a look at that. Eddie Betts from his favourite pocket under the old scoreboard. It was godlike from Eduardo.
Right, Roo.
Quacker
hoop. group this morning.
I'm happy that they won, Dits. It wasn't a 10 out of 10 performance. It was probably a 7.5. They played well early. They didn't capitalise on the scoreboard. They kept Richmond in it. Let's not forget they had eight of their best team out, Richmond, so it was their B grade. But they still had Dusty Martin, who kept them in the game. He was fantastic. Presty was really damaging as well. Adelaide fought out a good victory in the end. They kicked the last four goals. That's what the montage was we just played then. They were the last four goals of the game. Mm-hmm. Richmond could have won the game in the last quarter. They were in the game in the last quarter. That's how tight it was. The 33-point margin doesn't tell the real story. They just got away with it at the end. Josh Jenkins played his third really good game in a row since being dropped. Dale Lewis is calling Jenkins Mark II. He's a different player at the moment, and we'll talk about his injury later. But Josh Jenkins was fantastic. Riley O'Brien, for the second week in a row, was in the best three players on the ground. We gave him best on ground last night up against a third-string ruckman from Richmond, because Soldo pulled out yesterday and he's their second string. So Chol was a Sudanese young ruckman that come in. Played pretty well too. I like what he did.
What does this mean for Sam Jacobs?
What does it mean? It means that he's going to have to fight for his spot. It means there's a real pressure on for spots. So Source, who he interviewed on Triple M last night, knows that. And he's got to bang the door down with good SNFL form. So O'Brien was great. Brad Crouch played probably his best game ever. He had 43 disposals. His previous best was 42. Tex did some good things. Sloan did some good things. Quite a few others played quite well.
What about the injury list?
The injuries are interesting. Now, Adelaide have had niggles for the last 3 or 4 weeks. 13 weeks is a long way to go before you get your bye. Some teams start getting them after 11 weeks. Adelaide have had niggles. So Jake Kelly got kicked in the calf. So that was a corky. Daniel Talia, I think it's either a groin or top of the quad, so that's a tied sort of injury. Josh Jenkins looked like he's done his ACL, but Don Pike spoke after the game and gave everyone a little bit of hope.
Look, at this stage, it's the hyperextension, which, you know, they've sort of tested the ACL and they're confident that that's intact, which is real positive news for Josh.
Yeah, so hopefully after scans today, they'll find out that he might only miss, you know, 4 to 8 with bone bruising or something like that rather than a season-long injury. But a good win for the Crows. Wasn't great, but they're 8-5 heading into the bye. They'll be wrapped with that. And after a slow start to the year, freshen up a little bit. And then they've got the best team in the comp, Geelong in Geelong, and then the showdown. So two tough weeks after that.
All right, very sad story in the world of football. Came out yesterday about a good friend of ours, Matthew Broadbent. I don't want to say too much about it, but Tom Rockliffe, his teammate, spoke to the Rush Hour yesterday.
Yeah, I think he's okay. Obviously, he's put his hand up and said he needs a little bit of time away just to himself. And obviously, you go through such a tough period, those 2 years on the sidelines, the build-up to get back. And then he's obviously had some issues around that. So it's important that he gets his head right. And it's quite big of him to put his hand up and just say, look, I need some time.
So the club has said that he'll take extended leave away from the game.
Be interesting to see how he goes, how long he's going to be out. You know, is it only a few weeks? Is it the rest of the year? Is it forever? We don't know. Mm. You know the family well, Dits. Yep, and we all, no one likes to see anyone miss any part of life or have it full stop. So it just gets more exposed in the world of footy, doesn't it?
Great family, great people. So let's hope he's okay. Now, will Port Adelaide beat Freo, Roo?
Freo got a lot of injuries, Dits. That's your best chance. They're hard to beat over there. Freo are a good side. But they have got a lot of injuries. And Port, if they play like they did against St Kilda in China, they're a very big chance. I think it's a 50-50 sort of game over there, Dits. It's hard to beat the Dockers in Perth. But
we will.
Yep, according to you, I think they can.
According to you, you think they can?
They can. They might. They 50-50.
Stronger than that?
Is that enough fence sitting?
Sit on the fence.
It's an 8-point game, Dits.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah,
right. Yeah. If you lose, you're out. If you win, you're in.
No, big statement, Roo.
That's the fact.
So I'll pay you the big money.
That's right.
Footy expert Mark Rusciuto.
There you go.
They might win, but they might not.
They might not.
No, good.
That's good.
Hey, Roo, in a moment, Alice the Wag's got a funny story to tell us about a relationship, all right? You'll enjoy this story. Ruined It's on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Roo and Ditts for breakfast here. Roo, euthanasia, we can talk about this until the day we die, which is a silly way to put it, I know, but this has been debated forever and forever. The state of Victoria are the first in Australia to actually pass it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be legalised and laws are going to come into effect from June the 19th. So not far away at all, Ditts. So what does it mean? Is it going to come into South Australia as well?
I was reading earlier this morning where it's the bill in a bill has been defeated 15 different times here in Parliament in South Australia. So there are a lot of people, as we know, against it. It divides the community. Politicians on both sides are for it, and of course there are many, many against it. One of those that speaks out in favour is Kyam Maher. He joins us. Kyam, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to your listeners.
What do you think this happens now? Surely it opens the debate widely around Australia on the back of what Victoria is about to do.
Yeah, it does. As you say, Wednesday next week, the euthanasia scheme comes into effect in Victoria. That was after about 12 months of phasing in and having passed the Victorian Parliament before that. Well, I think you're right, your analysis. What it does is that I think it makes it more likely other states will follow. Yeah, for some of those MPs who aren't quite sure, I think they'll take some comfort that, yeah, there is a scheme that works in an Australian context.
Kyam, am I right in saying you're an advocate because of a personal experience?
Yeah, look, I've been a long-time supporter of euthanasia, but it was a couple of years ago when my mum was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and sort of a week before she passed away, she'd had it enough. She wanted to die, but wasn't allowed to, so she slowly basically starved and then ended up, yeah, almost drowning, a pretty horrid sort of experience. Yep. But that really, you know, reinforced my view that, you know, this is something that if people have the capacity to and are in suffering pain at the end of their life, they should be allowed to make that decision.
If it comes in Victoria and it goes smoothly and it's not abused, it's, and if you see the criteria that the Victorians have come up with, I won't go into all of it because it'll take a little while, but all of it looks like it's a good program, good criteria. If that all works, you would think it's going to come in here at some stage. And as we discuss, people who are really crook now, doctors are doing a sort of their own form of euthanasia, well, in a way, aren't they?
Yeah, I wanted to raise this, Kyam. I mean, I've had personal experience too with my family, and I think euthanasia just about takes place most days of the week in our hospitals, where a practitioner will come to the family and say, look, I can keep your mother or father going if you like, or we can stop giving them the medication. So you're not exactly giving them some sort of lethal injection, but you're sort of slowing down care as well, Kyam. Isn't that a form of euthanasia?
Yeah, you're right, it is. And in my mum's case, yeah, she stopped all medication and things that would keep her alive. And you're right, it does happen all the time. But to be able to make that decision so it's a comfortable way to pass away, I think, is important. And, yeah, community views are changing. It's now somewhere in about mid-80% of the community support euthanasia. So, yeah, I think it's something that, I don't think it's a question of will it happen in other states. It's just a question of when it happens. And as you said at the start, I think over the last quarter of a century, it's been debated 15 separate times in the South Australian Parliament.
Yep.
Last time, the vote 2 years ago was a 23-all draw on the floor of Parliament, and the Speaker used the casting vote against euthanasia laws.
Yep.
I think it's just a matter of time when it happens, not if it happens.
For sure. It's a sensitive topic. Thanks so much for joining us, Kyam Maher, one of our shadow ministers here in South Australia.
I'll give it 12 months, Dad.
12 months?
Yep.
All right, on the back of what Victoria's done, yeah, maybe it's just a matter of time. In a moment, Roo to tell us all about the Crows' win last night over Richmond. Roo and Ditts here on Triple M.
On Triple M's Roo and Ditts for breakfast, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Matthias Matthias, calling me Marky Vivondu.
I could have played for New Zealand, but I was too busy being a great actor.
It's Lawrence Mooney and friends.
Very excited this morning, Roo, to welcome a brand new guest to our show. For the first time, he's a TV reviewer. In fact, Australia's meanest reviewer. I'm looking forward to this.
That's right.
Rudy Vanderstone. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning to you, Ditts, and hello to you, Roo. And it's very lovely to join you on Triple M Adelaide. I'm sharpening my knives and getting ready for my first review, which is The Voice.
Right, good. Now, I'm just detecting an accent there, Rudy. Are you from Holland?
No. I was born in Sydney, but my mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. I just want to perpetuate the accent because culturally, it's a beautiful accent, isn't it? And people enjoy it.
What's the difference between Holland and the Netherlands, just out of interest?
There's not. That's the joke there.
Sorry. I just thought I'd ask. Sorry.
Hey, Rudy, is Rudy...
No, you can ask. I think Holland's in the Netherlands or something, but I've never been there and I never will.
Right. Imagine what your accent will be like if you actually do spend some time there.
Mm. Well, it'll probably be... stronger, I would have
thought. Yeah.
Rudy, is you reviewing your full-time job or not?
Oh no, I work as a plumber. So I've got my own plumbing service.
Right.
I park my ute out the front of the studios here. That's what I do.
Right.
You've probably seen the copper pipes on the top.
Yeah.
Rudy's plumbing service.
Right.
You block it. We unblock it. That's right.
Now you're saying you're reviewing the Voice. So do we get into it now? What do you want to tell us about the Voice?
Well, here we go. The Voice, Channel 9's talent quest to find Australia's best singing voice, returns for a seventh season, and it really is stretching Australia's talent pool so far that they're bringing back past champions and place getters from the previous series to have one more crack at the title. Sweet Jesus, they were no good the first time. You think 3 years on the league's club circuit is going to bring them up to scratch?
Well, they might have had some singing lessons or gone. It's like a golfer goes away and, you know, keeps hitting buckets of balls. They might have gone and had some lessons or something. You never know.
Yeah. You're a kind man, Ditch. I tell you what, I'm saying Australia's talent pool is so shallow, if you dived into it, you'd be throwing shot put at the Paralympics. Now, let's get into the judges.
Righto.
The paucity of talent just doesn't extend to the contestants.
Right.
It's also running right through the judges. What has Guy Sebastian ever actually done?
Oh,
on the count of three, yell out your favourite Guy Sebastian song, Ditz. One, two, three. Yeah, just as I thought. You haven't got one. I wouldn't want that Mick Mock to coach me at Tiddlywinks, let alone singing. Then there's Delta Goodrum.
Another world-class. Delta. Hang on. She's
Delta.
Beautiful.
She's beautiful, all right. But she's a world-class act the world has never heard of. Should have stuck with Neighbours, sweetie. You'd be having an affair with Dr. Carl by now rather than humiliating yourself on prime time.
Righto.
What about Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child?
Oh, she's lovely.
If your
lovely.
Destiny was to end up as a judge on The Voice, then you must have committed some heinous acts in your previous life. Of course, Kelly Rowland did stand next to Beyonce for many years in Destiny's Child. You might have expected the star power would rub off. It hasn't. She's as boring as a Sunday lunch. You can wear all the glitter you like, Toots. You've not got my chair spinning around. And then, finally, Boy George. Yes, a genuine pop star, Ditz, and a great talent, and a man who couldn't look more disinterested. No amount of makeup can hide your disdain for your judges or the contestants. And I can't look at you, Boy George, and not remember, in 2008, you were convicted of false imprisonment by handcuffing a man to a plumbing fixture and traumatising him. Karma, chameleon indeed. And wind back the hats too, you weirdo. You're starting to look like Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat.
Rudy, I think I'm
reading that book at the moment.
I'm going to get to enjoy your TV reviewing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let me finish this one up.
Right.
Next time the chairs spin around, I wish they'd keep spinning until all four of you drilled yourself into the ground and disappeared. I hate your show.
How many
10
stars?
Out of 10,
how
Rudy.
Many stars, Rudy?
That's a big flush from Rudy's plumbing service. Whoosh. Down to S Bend.
All right, Rudy, we look forward to you joining us in the weeks and months to come and reviewing more great Australian TV.
Rudy's TV review every week right here on Triple M.
Oh, I can see you doing Super Switch coming up soon too. That'll be fantastic, Rudy. Look forward to that.
I tell you what, have you been paying attention? Get some nice treatment next week.
Oh, champagne.
All right. Thanks,
champagne.
Rudy.
Champagne. See ya.
I love him.
Yeah, I love Rudy. He's going to be good.
Now, Roo, we just heard in the news that Brendan Tarrant, who's the Christchurch killer, has pleaded not guilty to the 51 murders.
Who would represent him?
I can't believe this. I'm going to find out more about it in just a moment. Stay with us, Roo, and it's on Triple M.
On Roo and Ditz for breakfast.
Hello.
Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm Mr. Red.
It's time for Roo's Tip of the Week.
Oh, it's been all one-way traffic, all the wrong way too, but the tide has turned.
Lady Bethany, hello, gorgeous. Lady Bethany lifting for the forklift. And Lady Bethany beats Hello Gorgeous.
How many times are you going to play that?
I'm going to just keep playing it. This is like Josh Jenkins. He's a new player. Josh Jenkins, Mark 2. Three games back, three very good performances.
You've had one win.
And now he's injured. God. All right.
One win in
I'm
7
confident
weeks.
I'm going back to back, baby. Here right. I go. In race 3 at Morfordville, this horse, number 2, it'll sit maybe sort of midfield, just a little bit back off. It should get a good sit from
where's it
going to
be when
6.
They pass the post? That's what I want to know.
It's going to peel out. It's called Super Swoop, and it's going to swoop down the outside and get the chocolates again. It's, I'm confident this thing
will win.
Terry
McAuliffe's retiring. You could be the next race caller here in South Australia.
Yep, and you'd know which horse I was on, I can tell you, very quickly. If Super Swoop gets up, race 3, number 2, and gets the chocolates,
right,
don't be frightened. Just to put some of your winnings. Don't put it all on. Keep some for dinner and a present for the wife or husband. On race 6, number 1, Giggle On.
Right. Okay. So we've got 2 tips.
Yeah, only if the first one wins.
You're getting carried away.
Only if the first one wins, okay? Sure. Get on to Giggle
this
On.
This has gone to your head.
You'll be giggling all the way to the bank.
All right.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Hey, all thanks to Automasters who supply those tips every week.
Good luck to the Power Dits. Hopefully you can get the chocolates over there.
We will.
And, yeah, have a great weekend, everybody.